I want to begin today a series on Sunday morning concerning the church. I believe that the average Christian, the born-again child of God, has many misconceptions about what the church is. And so we seek to establish from the Word of God some principles and some demonstrations even of what the church is. Here in Matthew chapter 16, and I'm going to read here, and you don't need to stand this morning because I'm just going to be kind of back and forth, but I'm going to read here beginning in verse 15. But what we find here is the very first mention of the church in the Bible. Chapter number 16, and I want to read here. Notice verse 15. He saith unto them, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, but whom say ye that I am? He had just asked them, who are people saying that I am? And in verse number 14, they make some comment, but his question now is, whom say ye that I am? That's an interesting question. As a child of God, what would be your answer? What would you say? But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So God is saying, when we have this kind of revelation, it's not something that we learn in the natural realm. It is something God reveals to us. And notice verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May I say to you this morning, the church of Jesus Christ is not built on Peter. Understand that. He says, thou art Peter, and upon, can I put it this way, this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is not on Peter. He is a small stone. Jesus is the rock of ages. And so we find that this that is called the church is to be built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone, if you please. If we're ever to understand the church of the Bible, I believe we need to allow it to define itself. We find in the book of Titus that as Paul writes to him, he says there are some things that are wanting. If you'd turn to Titus with me for just a couple of moments, please. Book of Titus and chapter number 1, right after 2 Timothy. And as he writes to them, we find that Paul is concerned because there are some things that are needful in this city where Titus is at. And so he says to him, for this cause left I thee in Crete, verse number 5, that thou should set in order the things that are what? Wanting. There's something that's missing in this church. And so he says, Titus, you need to ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. There is something that is needed for a church, and that is proper leadership. He goes on in verses 6, 7, and 8 to tell us what kind of leadership that is. He says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So God, I believe, expects for a church to be a church to have good leadership. It had been wanting. He says this is something that is needed. Not only is there a need for good leadership, but we also find that the church is a place of good doctrine. Notice chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." There must be not only proper leadership, there must be proper doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Notice what it says. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." What's he saying here? He is saying the church is that which is the foundation, that which is the pillar, that which is holding up the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the rock, the foundation, the stone of the church. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 says, "And ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Our young folks brought in this morning what appears to you to be a bunch of boxes. But these are representative of something this morning. Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood that you and I might be saved. Amen? The Bible says in Ephesians that He is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that is that stone upon which the rest is built. You also find in that particular scripture that there are also the apostles and prophets. Now, I believe that when the Bible speaks of the church, it speaks primarily of the local church. I believe it speaks of a peoples who are gathered together because the word church means a called out assembly. Some people want to speak of all Christians as a church. That is not a proper term until we're all called out at the rapture. It can be used as a generic term in reference, but seriously, when God speaks of the church, He's speaking of the local church. And He says it's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the prophets. You say, well, Paul's not in our church. He's not one of them. But I put it green because I'm thinking of the freshness of the wonderful doctrines of the Word of God. And so we have different ones that are apostles and prophets. And what do they bring to us? They bring to us the wonderful doctrines upon which our lives are built. We find the doctrine of love, do we not, in the Word of God? We find that God is love, is He not? Amen. You can say amen now and then. Brother Sturtz was trying to train you folks to get with it now. And we are what? We are people who are to what? Know the love of God, and we are a people who are also to love. That's our responsibility. That's something we have a privilege of. But not only love, we have what? The grace of God. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Amen. We have grace. And that's a tremendous thing. We have not only the grace of God, but we also know that we have the purity of the Word of God. Aren't you glad that we have this wonderful thing that is so wonderful for you and I? So we're built upon all of these things. And I'm kicking all these people around. Isn't that terrible? You're going to be my helper in a bit. Okay. So what do we have? We have the foundation and we have the cornerstone. Now we find that a local church is made out of people, do we not? We have the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we don't have a church. Without the doctrines of the apostles, without those teachings that they gave us in the Word of God, we don't have a church. It is our constitution. It is that which brings us together. It's the truth of God that binds you and me together. But what do we find? We find then that somebody gets saved, and what are they? They're added to the local church. By the way, how did they get to the local church? How'd these boxes get here? People brought them. Bring me some of these boxes. I need some help here this morning. And so what do we find? We find people bringing us to church. And we find people telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is doing what? He is building a church. Upon this rock, I will what? Build my church. So you and I, we are what? We're a bunch of blockheads. We're blocks. And we are being put into that local church. And it becomes a building for God. It's tough when you're trying to win two people to Christ at once, you know it? All righty. And we do that. Okay? Where's one of those little ones at? Hey, there we go. Yeah. You know where that's going, don't you? Who might that represent? Some of the younger ones, huh? Am I bigger than you? Kind of the same thing, isn't it? Is this block important? It really is. I want you to notice where it is. It's on the bottom, isn't it? Yeah. By the way, we're not going to do it this morning, but if you're going to build windows, you've got to use half blocks. If you're going to build doors, you've got to use half blocks. If we're going to have a vision to look out into the world, we need a window. And children give us great vision of what the world is. Amen? Yeah. We need another child. Do we have another child? Hey, we do right here. Okay. You getting those here? Okay. I need another big person. Hey, you're doing well. You're doing well. Let's do this wall up here, okay? Alrighty. This one's got a little extra sin in his life. We're going to have to take care of that. Okay. It's kind of good to get the world out of him. Just there's ways to do that. Okay. Are we doing okay, buddy? Okay. So we're seeing what? We're seeing the church built. Isn't that something? And every one of us is very important in that building. Which one of these is you? Where are you at? You're right over there, weren't you? Okay. Hey, we got some more blocks? Hey, there we do. Okay. Oh, that one won't fit. Give me those two down there first. Okay. Okay, thank you. You can be seated too, because I think I think we're done. Almost. The local church is built with people. And everyone is very important. And when you and I are cemented together by the Lord Jesus Christ and we're resting upon Him, we can become a good foundation. We become that which is visible to the world and that which the world can look at and see some things. of sin in his life. He stayed home. And look what happens to the Christians around him. Are you important? Is your presence important? If the Church of Jesus Christ is visible, and we're not visible to it, we cause a hole that causes disruption to other Christians. I want to tell you what happened last night. This was not planned. We had some testimonies during prayer time. And one of them said, I almost stayed home from church Friday night. I thought that was interesting. Hadn't all week. Why would you want to stay home from church Friday night? Let's put this guy back in his place. You know, if we can get rid of some of sin in his life, maybe he'll stay put, you reckon? We'll see if that works. What do we do with this? That's the preacher. She said, I was so discouraged by those who weren't here, I thought, what's the use? And you didn't think you were important to other people. You see, when Jesus is trying to build a church, it becomes a real church and real solid and a citadel for the truth when we're all in our place as we should be. Who's this? No. If we build with that block, what's going to happen? Can we build with that block? There's only one place we can put that block. We can't put it down here. The only place we can put it's up on top. The only place it'll go. But there's a problem with that up there on the top. You see, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ, that word also refers to the capstone that goes around the top. It also refers to that which becomes the beautifying mark of the church, which is what all this is raising up for, that people might see the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's a person that's too big. What do you reckon the problem is? Could there be some sin in their life? I find a lot of Christians, they think that, you know, it's okay to drink, smoke, cuss, all those things. You know what the Lord has to do? To cut us down to size. He wants to get rid of that. You know what a whole lot of us have a problem with? Pride. That's why we're so big to start with. Yeah. A lot of us, we don't fit in real good because we're not nearly as interested in the pillar and ground of the truth, the Word of God, as we are in our entertainment. So what's God going to do? He's got to cut that out. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ can have that opportunity to work upon our lives and to get rid of some things, He can pull us up out of that person of pride. That shall
can be taken away. Which, by the way, happens right up here so very often. And guess what? We can be built into the church too. That's what a church is about. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the builder. I'm not the builder. I'm a block. I'm a part of that. My job as a pastor is somewhere down in here, build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets to be bearing up those who are under. And as new people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're built upon our testimony. And the building rises. And when the capstone is finally put on, it shines forth the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's neat about the building is nobody is more important than anybody else. This church needs every block in it. It doesn't matter if it's little, because those are used to make a straight wall that we might have a window that we can view and have a vision of the world. Thank God for young people. Thank God for those who are growing up in our church. And one of these days, their block will enlarge. And then they'll have a bunch of little blocks. That's a church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I will guarantee you, that when you're not there, the pressures of life hurts your fellow Christians. We need each other. Do you realize I can't pastor without people? Do you realize I can't grow in Christ either without you? Because you and I are, what? Bonded together. That's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it to be. Let God use you in Open Door Baptist Church. Now let's think about one other thing. How do you become a block? How do you become a block? In other words, how do you become one of Christ? Well, if we're going to be built upon Him, then it must be an acknowledgement of Him as our Lord. He must be your Savior. A church that is built with people who have not Jesus Christ as their Savior is not a church. Al Wells told me many times, he said, "Gene, there's men out there building crowds, but God wants to build His church." The largest church in the world, last I knew, was in Seoul, Korea. To become a member of that church, you walked in the doors of the building and filled out a card, and you were now a member. To become a part of a real church, you must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no other way. and to be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ and to allow Him into your life. It is a necessary thing. For without Him and without allowing somebody to bring you to Jesus, you're still in the outer room. Still lost. And you need Him. I thank God I had people carry me to where I could hear the gospel. Lord, today work in our hearts. God, help us to see who we are in this church. God, help us to see the importance of our testimony, the importance of even being here, how we support each other. Oh God, I pray You will work this into our hearts. Help us to understand that some of our lives is the Lord, You, peeling away some things of our lives, cutting us down that we might be a useful stone in Your glorious church, that we might be used in this place for You. Lord, I pray that You will help us to understand that most of all, it is all built upon You. And then You cap it off with Your beauty. Bless in hearts. Lord, there's needs here today. May You be glorified from it in Jesus' name. Amen.